Praise the Lord.
You can be seated. Thank you so much. Wow, we don't get to hear from the First Lady very often, do we? I hear from her quite a little bit at home. She's not shy at home. But no, thank you so much, guys. It's, you know, I thought it wouldn't be near as emotional second hour as it was first, but it is. And, you know, I can say one thing. You know, there, you know, I didn't mention this. I just overwhelmed first hour. But, man, I tell you what, the staff we have is so absolutely awesome. I remember a time when we first came that, in fact, I'd broken my arm and fell on the ice after I'd been here about 2 weeks. And I had to write with my left hand, and I was writing out the checks and paying the bills and making the deposits. And I was doing all of that by myself. And to stand here today with a staff that basically does virtually everything that I get to take credit for, is an amazing experience. And I would be remiss if I didn't really give honor where honor is due there. It's an amazing thing to see what happens just through a simple obedience. And I'm telling you, it's the one thing that sticks out to me over the years of walking with the Lord. At three different times I've moved across the country with a word from the Lord, and that's it. And every time it has opened up this whole arena of things that I never would have conceived of, and places I wouldn't have been, people I wouldn't have known, things that we couldn't have accomplished. And to look out today and see a congregation sitting in a paid-for building in a great part of town with a future and with lots of things in front of us, and I think, God, all I would have had to do to miss all of this was to say, I really don't want to. And I leave that with you today. How many I don't want to's have we all said? Things maybe we even knew the Lord wanted us to do, and we said, I don't really want to. I'm not comfortable with that. How would I make it? What if? And as we said back earlier in the fall, those what ifs can be turned around. What if God is faithful? What if God has, his ways are higher than your ways and his thoughts above your thoughts? And as I look at your faces today and know, extrapolating that on out, how many lives are associated with you and your families that are being touched by the Lord, and then on top of that around the world today, I just say, oh God, help us to be more obedient in the future than we've been in the past. I am so grateful. I'm absolutely so grateful for the chance to serve you guys here. It's been such a blessing. Even with the hard times that we went through in 2001 and 2002, you know, the Bible says, and I learned this scripture during that time. It says in 1 Corinthians 11:19, there must needs be disputes among you so that those who are approved may be revealed. You find out who you are and what you're made out of when things start going against you. And this congregation could have been a footnote easily because of personal failures on the parts of some of our leadership here. But you know what? God knows how to put things back together again. And Mark was so right. I learned things in ministry and in life that I never wanted to learn. But I'm so thankful. I wouldn't take $1 million for that experience today. And if you're interested, I wouldn't take $1 million to go through it again either. But thank you for being such a great church family. We don't have a lot of the drama that a lot of people do. And when we need to raise money, we just tell you what it is and you give. When we need to send a container of cholera medications to a country that's losing thousands of people a week, you do it. That changed the whole face of life in Zimbabwe a few years back when that cholera epidemic broke out. I'm just so thrilled to be part of the body of Christ and this piece of it in particular. Thank you so, so, so very much for being who you are. Today, it is a huge and distinct pleasure of mine to welcome to this pulpit someone that hasn't been here for too long. He is the man that I would say is responsible for my particular philosophy of ministry. I came to him as a long-haired hippie type kid back out of the Jesus movement and fell in love with him, and he extended to me opportunities to minister and to stand beside him in ways that I never would have expected at that station of my life. And for 10 and a half years in two different time frames, Pastor Price and I served a great church there that he planted, or not planted, but took over back in 1965 when he was fresh out of Bible college. And I think there were 32 people in the church, as I recall, at that time. And before it was all said and done, we were seeing 5,000 people through our doors on a weekend, and it was just such a blessing. And I never, ever, ever conceived that I would leave there, let alone come back to my hometown that is so religious and so, you know, guarded against anything that didn't have a name tag on it that they recognized. And but this man poured into me. You know, he would never say he was a mentor, but he mentored me every day. Hospital visits, deaths in families, birthdays, acknowledgement of great things done by his people. And he really is a pastor's pastor. And it is my honor today to introduce to you, if you've never met him before, W. Donald Price. He still pastors in Phoenix, and we try and go see him every year if at all possible. And I'm going to ask you to exercise one more time to get on your feet and welcome my pastor, W. Donald Price, to this stage.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm honored to be here today. Thank you. Wow, to get to be here for the 20th anniversary. I love celebrations, and particularly with my good friend that I love and appreciate so very, very much. We were talking about the first service. He left in 93, and I said I didn't last a year without him, and I didn't last 4 months without him, and he was just always there. He was a strength in my life. He was one of the wisest men that I know. When I need counsel and I need direction, I call your pastor. I'm older than he, but he's much wiser than I am, and I just thank the Lord that in the 70s, he came bebopping through our city, and we had such great fellowship. We were just talking with the boys the other day. They're just little bitty guys, and they fell in love with him back in those days. And I just tell them, and you know, I've known Pastor Gary longer than I have some of my sons. And I mentioned first hour that he probably honors me more than they do at times. But I hope they don't hear that. But I've never had anyone who gave me the honor that your pastor has, and I'm so blessed to be here with you today. Man, what does the next 20 years have to hold for you? My, isn't it great? How many of you know you just got a good solid foundation, and those nations that you have blessed is going to be multiplied, and you're going to have a greater ministry in the years ahead. It's going to be awesome, and I'm going to enjoy watching it and hearing the reports and being a part of it. And I think I've come and spoken at three different locations, and so I've got to see a little bit of all of your moves of the Lord. And so I'm glad today for the opportunity of speaking to you. I want to share a verse with you. It's kind of a different verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. Verse 16, chapter 5, 2 Corinthians. Just a couple points I want to make from this verse. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now know him thus no longer. Two things that verse, and I want to talk to you about this morning, that we don't know one another after the flesh. That we did know Jesus after the flesh, but we don't know him that way any longer. Now, what I'm going to say this morning is going to depend if you would agree with me on this supposition, that New Testament evangelism is not just being saved, but New Testament evangelism is being saved and added to a church. Now, I'm not talking about the mystical church, a triumphant, glorious church, but I'm talking about being saved and added to a church like Hope Community, like a physical church, like a church that's in reality, that we're living and we're getting to know one another, we're worshiping together, we're partnering together, we're blessing ministries, and we're reaching out to our community, and we're blessing people around the world. The thing that is dear to my heart, and one of the things that I love, is the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord called me in the ministry when I was 17 years of age, and the one thing he burned into my mind was Matthew 16:18. I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, the council of hell will never prevail against it. And that's been my lifetime. Before we were ever married, I took my wife, and we were engaged then, and drove her over to a little Bible college in Fresno, California, out in the middle of the vineyards in those days. And I said, we get married, we're going to come here, we're going to start studying, we're going to become pastors, and we're going to pastor all of our lives. Well, we have about 48 years into that now, and I'm hoping and praying God sustains me that I can do it for another 2 years, that I can complete 50 years. I don't know why I have that, but it's something that's in my mind. So the ministry, it's my burden, it's my beef, it's my blessing. I love the church. I love the house and the family of God. And so one of the things that I wanted to talk about was being saved and added to the church. I'm convinced that the Apostle Paul would be pretty disturbed today if he came back and heard the preaching and saw the activity that's going on today, with George Barna saying that people have not one home church any longer, but they have four different churches. And I don't understand that, because how can you be related in different places instead of being a part of a living organism? Remember when Paul wrote to us about how that we are members together, and how can the eye say to the hand, or different parts of the body say that I don't need the other part? And every now and then I sing, you know, the foot bone is connected to the ankle bone. Remember that old song? Ankle bone connected to the leg bone. You know, I don't sing well, but one thing about it, when I sing and really put my heart in it, you will remember that I sing. And so this is one of the things that Paul wrote about. And so this is one of the things that's on my heart. He said in the writings there, one time we knew the Lord. We knew him by the flesh, but now no longer we know him by the flesh. We don't know him that way, but now we know him by the Spirit. But how did you learn? I grew up in church. I grew up back in the hills of the country, in the swamps of southeastern Alabama. My dad was a sharecropper when we moved out to California right before I turned 8 years of age. And I remember, being in my first Sunday school class in Alabama. You know, we had relatives out on the farm. They would come by, and we would go every fourth Sunday to Pleasant Grove Baptist Church, and there'd be a circuit preacher that'd come, and he'd preach there. I remember one time when I was a little guy, my mother took me to a brush arbor. How many ever been to a real old-fashioned brush arbor? I mean, this was the real thing with all the brushes, and I remember that preacher. I wasn't too happy about that deal, but anyway, I survived that, and so I finally got to go to my first organized church, and I was in the card class. How many of you anywhere near my age that you grew up and you had these little cards? You know, the first class I studied, it was Jesus taking care of Moses, and it was Moses in the bulrushes. And we had this little card with the picture of the little ark and Moses in the bulrushes. Then another Sunday, we'd have a picture of Jesus with the sheep on his shoulder, and we would know Jesus is the great shepherd. And so I grow up knowing Jesus by the pictures. Isn't it interesting that we do not have a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ? Now, we have artists' renditions And I think the name that comes to my mind is Warren Solomon. Now, he may have been a baseball player instead of a painter, but that's a name that comes into my mind. So anyway, it wouldn't it be something when we get to heaven and we don't know what Jesus recognized, how to recognize him, you know? We're walking down Hallelujah Boulevard, and we stop, and we ask us, and we run into Pastor Gary, and, hey, have you seen Jesus? And he said, yeah, man, was up there at the corner of Praise Avenue right there. I said, well, I saw that crowd, but he didn't look like the picture I have in my living room. We don't know what he looked like, do we? We learned him after the flesh, but I don't know him after the flesh any longer. I know him after the Spirit. I believe I sensed he was here this morning. I believe his word tells me where two or three of us are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of us. I think he was here when we began to praise and worship him. I could sense that the Lord was here. I've seen him in hospital rooms. I've ridden the hospital elevators with him. I remember we had a child that was stillborn, and we went through all this process. Betty went through all the labor. We always wanted a little girl. We had two boys at the time, and we were looking and was praying for this little girl. And then all of a sudden, we find out that the child is dead. And we got to go through this process. We go. We're on the same floor where she delivered the boys before. You know, and here we are. We go through the process. It was a Catholic hospital, and we had a wonderful friend who was a doctor. He was a Seventh-day Adventist doctor, and he said, well, if you don't name her, you know, here they will baptize her. They will name her Mary. All the little baby girls are Mary. All the little baby boys are Joseph if they're not named. And so we named her Kimberly Dawn. And when we leave the hospital, we're going by the cemetery, and some of the leaders at our church, like these fine people here that stand with your pastor, are going to be there, and we're going to lay this little body in the grave. And so we're doing good, and we're coming out of the room, and we push Betty into the elevator, and I think, wow, we got off that floor. This is good. And just at that time, a hand grabbed the door. And in came this lovely couple, just happy, with a beautiful little baby girl in her arms. And I saw Betty. She's trying not to weep, but I saw her turn her head, and I didn't know what to say. The other couple was in the elevator, and I just put my arm around her, and Jesus was there. Jesus was standing right there. He was there. How many believe he was there? He was there. I've seen him a lot of times, a lot of difficult places, and I've seen him in great celebrations. I don't know him after the flesh, but I know him after the Spirit. But it goes on and says, we're not to know one another after the flesh. We're to know one another after the Spirit. It goes on the next verse there and says, when we come to Jesus Christ, we become a new creation. Old things are passed away and all things have become new. So you know why I like the church. This is where we grow. This is where we develop. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, he loveth the dwelling of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. What that means to me is he loves it when you worship him in your own home. But he really loves it when we come together, because when we come together and we gather in his name to honor and praise and worship him, he has a chance to demonstrate his presence and even in a greater way. He loveth the dwelling of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. And you know, that's why I like, say, I'm here, I'm just here a short time. I don't think I'm going to get any trouble. I'm trying to be nice, and I'm not trying to disturb anybody. I love your pastor, and I love you, and I'm leaving at a little after 4 today and flying back home. And so I hope that I didn't offend anybody first hour, and I'm praying I don't offend anybody this hour. But the way you're looking at me, I don't know how I'm doing, but... That's my goal. But as soon as I get off the plane, I've already had 9 texts on my phone. So I'm not going to look at them till I'm through, because I'm trying to get a little inspiration to preach. But I just break out in a cold sweat when I turn in the drive because across the street is the Glendale Christian Church. I live in Glendale, Arizona, and I pastor the Glendale Christian Center. Now, Pastor Gary's talking about how wonderful you are and how he hasn't had any difficulties in a lot of years and how God has blessed him, and I'm really gracious of that. But I'm not going through that period right now at my church. That's why my wife is not here. And so we're going through all kinds of transitions in our church, in our location, and I have three boys on my staff, and so I needed Mama to stay there to make sure everybody behaves there. But see, this is where you really grow, is learning how to worship together, learning we all don't worship the same way, learning to be forgiving and let you worship like you worship, learning how not to talk about you because you get a little more exuberant than me. This is where we really learn how to get along. You know, it's kind of like the stones that built the temple out in the quarry. They rubbed them together until they had them where they fit like they were glued together. Friction is what builds us and puts us together. And this is one of the reasons why the Lord wants us to be together, because this is the way he develops us. This is the way he increases his grace in us. This is the way he matures us. Now, that's not going to happen while I'm here. I hope you're going to honor me like your pastor, and you're going to say, boy, you preach good and all of that, and I'll just get on my plane and I'll say, man, that's great being in Springfield, you know. But boy, I'm going to be landing in Phoenix before midnight tonight. And it's kind of like, I remember when the Lord called me to preach, and I was praying, said, I want the right wife. I don't want a bunch of girlfriends. I just want you to show me who you want me to marry, and I just want to get this right. And I remember I was in the youth choir. I was about 16. We went across the street, and we were singing at this church, and there was this little gal playing the organ. She was kind of cute. And so I began to inquire. This was Betty Scott. I knew a bunch of Scots. I knew all of her cousins. But she only lived a block away from me. And her parents worked in the lettuce, and so they moved around from Salinas to El Centro, back to Salinas, and all that stuff. We call them fruit tramps over there. I grew up in Salinas. It's kind of like a John Steinbeck. We have a museum, you know, about it. It's kind of like the Grapes of Wrath and East of Eden, Salinas and Spreckles. This is kind of where I grew up, you know. We all came out of the Dust Bowl of Oklahoma, out of the farms of Alabama and all of these places, and we kind of got out there and kind of grew up together. And so this is what her family would do. But I kind of like this little girl, and she kind of liked me, so I kind of hanging around her, you know. And so she's 15 in a few months, and so, you know, then I decided that maybe I would try to take her out for a Coke after church and have some French fries and Coke. You know, and her mom and dad, I talked them into it, and they let her go. But I noticed some other guys like kind of thought she was cute too, and I thought, I don't like this deal. So, man, being the big spender I am, I took $37, bought this big old ring, man. It had a big D on it for Dandy Don, you know, and I took me about a yard of tape and wrapped it around that ring, and I said, will you go steady with me? Yeah, I thought I had it wrapped up. No more problems, going steady. This is back in the past century, so, you know, so I thought I had this secured. Man, I don't even know what happened to that ring. It disappeared in about 2 or 3 months. Man, you know, she was giving it back, and I was taking it, and I was giving me my ring, and back and forth, you know. That didn't work too good. And I kept hanging around, and I thought, she's about going to be 18 as soon as she graduates. And I thought, I went down and spent $369, charged it on credit. So if she would marry me, she could pay for it. No, I'm just kidding. But, man, I knew if this gal said, yes, I'll marry you, and after I paid $369 for this ring, No more problem. You know what I found out? You don't get married because you love someone. You get married to learn how to love them. That marriage is a commitment that holds you together while you learn how to knock the rough edges off of your mate and they knock them off of you. And I kind of apply that to church. You know, you just bebopping through here? Or are you like some of these letters up here? I walked in to Hope and I knew I was home. Are you going steady? Are you married? Has God put you here? Have you made a commitment? Now, Pastor, tell me, you know, about how wonderful you are, and I believe that to a degree. But I just know from 48 years, and I know from living in church from December 1947, I know what church people are like. So as wonderful you are, if you've been around here a month, you probably have two or three reasons to quit already. Because there's always something happening in a crowd this size that you don't like. I mean, it happens to preachers. I heard about these two Pentecostal preachers. They are good buddies, and there's a Baptist preacher. They're going to ask him to go fishing. And they took him fishing. They got out a ways from the out in the lake and a few ways from the shore, and I said, I forgot the bait. They'd already put down their anchor, and they're about a half a mile from the shore, and this Baptist preacher said, I'll go get it. Let's just turn. No, he said, I'll go get it. He just jumps out of the boat and just starts walking right on the water. This Pentecostal preacher said to the other one, look at that. Isn't that a shame? He can't even swim. We call this a holy city because of so many church headquarters here. And so you folks might be different. But out in Arizona, we got too many cowboys and cowgirls, I guess, because we're always bumping heads over something. Pastor Gary was out there, and we endured 122 degrees heat. The airplanes couldn't even take off for 45 minutes because their computers would only go to 120 degrees. So we have things like guys passing out and you have to throw buckets of sand in their face to revive them, you know. It's so hot out there. And it's kind of a different group. And so this is a way we learn to grow. You heard Pastor Gary say he wouldn't take $1 million for one of the things he learned and wouldn't take $1 million to go through it again. He didn't run because he's here. God put him here. He learned. One of the trustees said that the Lord expanded his influence because of the character through the prop. See, we don't know, and we're not to know one another after the flesh. We're to know one another after the spirit. See, this is what you observed. It goes like this. See, I got a bad back. I mean, tell you, it's killing me today. I can't even get out of the bed. I wish I could call Oral Roberts, but the Lord's already taken him home. But I know how Oral could heal the sick. And I called Benny in, and Benny's in Bongo Bongo Land. So Benny's not available to me, so... Now I'm down to the third on the list. Maybe I'll call the pastor, but I don't know about the pastor anyway. And call, and he's not there. I wouldn't think he'd be there anyway. You never can get a hold of him when you need him. But my back is killing me. My wife said, why don't you call Elder Jones? No, Elder Jones, the last time we had a church picnic, he lost his temper when the rope tying contest, he lost it. See? We know one another after the flesh. We're not to know one another after the flesh. We're to know one another after the Spirit. See, and so now my back's killing me, and the only thing I got left is this woman right here. Last prayer she had answered was when she prayed that the Lord would bring me in her life. That had been a long time ago. See, but things are getting bad. But let me tell you something. Things get messed up in your house. And that husband that you reminds you of Fred Flintstone. He's not Fred Flintstone. He knows Jesus. He's a new creature. He's a priest of his household. And he has the authority in the name of the Lord to take dominion over the attacks in your family and to stand there in the name of Jesus, or your wife, to stand there in agreement and pray the prayer of faith, and God will heal those that are among us, and God will bless us. We're not to know one another after the Spirit. We're to know after the flesh. We're to know one another after the Spirit. My wife came down with colon cancer. I think it's about 7 years now. She's been free. She goes and gets scoped again this year. Pastor Gary has these contacts. One of our friends was flying with Benny Hinn three times a week, and he said, Benny would like to come pray for Betty. I said, no, I don't want Benny to come pray for Betty. So I called his administrative assistant. I said, I don't want to bother Benny of him to come all the way to Arizona to pray for her. Just ask him to take 5 minutes to just somewhere and just pray for her. That'll be fine. Another friend of ours from Uganda, he flew in because he had to be there to pray for Mom. We had this little meeting to get together so we could form a little group for him to pray for her. And he did, and it was a nice little meeting. And we had friends everywhere calling, praying for her. You know, you know what that's like. I'm sure you went through that with one of your pastor's family member here. People reaching out. You know, my wife went through surgery. They were able to remove all of it. I could go into detail. It was a marvelous story. But she's been cancer-free, and she gets scoped again. I guess this has been her eighth year. But you know what? The other day we were talking about that when I said, it's time for you to get scoped again. She said, you know, all that stuff that went by, she said, the only thing that I remember where the Lord really touched me was when Chip, you know Chip, and that little meeting there, this elder of our church walked over to her and said, let it go. Forgive. Didn't say nothing else, just went on. And she said, that's when something broke in me. And I believe that's when the Lord really touched me. My wife got cancer. I sat at the table with my staff and I said, she lives and dies right here with your faith and your prayers. This is where the Lord has placed me. This is my church. We're brothers. I'm not calling any high-powered personality. I believe what I preach right here. If you got more faith in calling some 800 number for somebody who doesn't know you from Adam, and there's nothing wrong with that and part of your protocol, but if you've got more confidence in that than you do in your local church, we got trouble in River City. But we got a blessed church here. We've come through 20 years. We've had prayers answered. We see healing in the process right now. We're believing God to do marvelous things. We're believing God to do the impossible. for friends and family members that have not yet come to Him. It's just a day ahead. It's just next week. It's just next month, because we're a family and we're in this together. Can you say amen? Amen. Listen, God bless you. 20 years. I'm so honored to be here. This is one of my favorite churches. When I come here, I go home young and refreshed. I go home excited for the Lord. You've thrilled me. Take care of my friends. I'm getting older now, and I don't know how much longer I'm going to be around. But you know this guy right here? I love him. You ought to have seen him in his hippie outfit. And Judy, I didn't know you could preach, girl. I'm telling you what, you're going to show us all up. You got to sit down. You can't be doing that, man. You can't make us look bad here, you know. But isn't she special? What a wonderful pastor's wife and all of his staff. Come on, let's stand and thank God for His blessings in the last 20 years and His graciousness to all of us. Hallelujah, Lord. We just praise You and worship You.